The question today is, what does it mean to contend for the faith? This is part number two. We dealt with it yesterday about Jude 3, where he talked about Jude wrote and asked and said he wanted to talk about common salvation, talk about his testimony about people saved the same way and rejoice in being saved. But he said his earning his need for me to earn to write to you to earnestly contend for the faith, for men have crept in unawares and turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. And we said that the word contend means to strive for or against, to use earnest efforts to obtain, it means to defend, to reprove sharply, or also to strive and to convince. Now, we said that it speaks of vigorous, intense, determined struggle to defeat the opposition. In context, the word comes from the fierce competition of the athletes contending in a contest, striving to win. And we said the truth is really the whole body of revealed truth, that's the faith, the whole body of revealed truth delivered once to the saints. Now we said, as we looked at it yesterday, I'll not go over this in depth, but if we're going to contend for the faith, we're going to have to strive against some things. We're going to have to strive against temptation, because every man is tempted. If you don't, temptation will bring you down, and the faith, the revealed body of truth, will be hurt out in this society we live in today. People can't see the truth of the gospel. And also we strive against error and those who proclaim that error and promote that error. Then we strive also against our enemy, who is the devil, the archenemy of God, and our enemy as well. And we strive against those things. That is part of contending for the faith. But the definition of it was to strive for some things. Now, what are we to strive for? Well, it says in context, to strive for the faith. Now, as we said, faith is the whole body of revealed truth delivered once to the saints. So it involves truth. It means to striving for the truth. And you know something? You've got to have truth to be saved. And these people who proclaim error, they're giving their people a false hope. They're not saved. You can't be saved without truth. You've got to have truth. The Bible says in Psalms 145, verse 18, the Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, all that call upon him in truth. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 1 Corinthians 12:3 said, no man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. But here we find you've got to have truth to call on him. And if you've not preached truth to, if you're not hearing truth where you're at, you're going to have a false profession and one day say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, done many wonderful works in thy name? And then he said, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. That's Matthew 5. 7, 22 and 23 is where that's found right there. But that's what you've got to do is to strive against some things, but strive for the truth. In other words, need to contend. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. Why? For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Folks, I want to tell you, truth's been trampled down in the streets of our countries today, in the streets of the world today, if you please. We're in a mess today. And so, therefore, we need to contend, earnestly contend for the faith, which is to strive against some things, but also to strive for the truth. It also, the faith involves the gospel. Romans 1:16 said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, the gospel we've dealt with many times. I know 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says that the gospel is that Jesus died for our sins according to the Scripture and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scripture. That was the Old Testament Scripture that he was talking about, because the New Testament had not yet been written. So when we talk about contending for the faith and being contending in essence for the gospel, you realize something, it's more than just death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel includes the virgin birth, for if Jesus wasn't virgin born, he would have never qualified as our sin bearer on Calvary. But God was born through a virgin's womb. And then he had to have a sinless life, keep the law to the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T. This Jesus did, because he was God incarnate. That means God in flesh. He robed himself, the Son of God, robed himself in flesh through the virgin's womb. We got to preach that. Then he did die for our sins. That's what we call the vicarious death, the substitutionary death on the cross of Calvary. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. That's part of it. He also was resurrected after 3 days and 3 nights. And then we find that he ascended. And that's part of the gospel we need to preach. And also, he seated himself at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. So his ministry of intercession is part of the gospel. We need to proclaim that and contend for the gospel in that sense. Also, he's bodily coming back again one day to receive his saints unto himself. And in other words, we may not know who the 10 toes of Daniel's image is and all those different minute details of all the book of Revelation and the book of Daniel. But I want to tell you what, if you deny the fact that our Lord is coming bodily back again, then we need to strive against you, because you've got error. And that's contending for the faith. But we contend for the gospel. Hey, it not only involves his coming back again, bodily back again for his saints, and that involves the sanctification work of the Spirit. And that is Holy Ghost conviction, godly sorrow, whatever you want to call it, work of reproval, in all three areas of sin, righteousness, and judgment, as John 16, 8, 9, 10, 11 brings out. And we dealt with that much. And that's necessary for us to contend for the faith, is to contend for the gospel. Because you realize something, the gospel has got to come in, like God said through his word in Paul. Paul quoted this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse number 5. He said, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and the Holy Ghost and in much assurance." In other words, that's the way the gospel's got to come. It's got to come in truth. It's got to come in power, the Holy Ghost, and much assurance. Now, the sad thing about it is that Paul said this to the church at Galatia. He said in verse number 6 of chapter 1 of Galatians, he said, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of God unto another gospel." They had another gospel, which was not of the saving kind, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That's the enemies of the truth, error. They're people who promote error. We need to strive against that, but also strive to proclaim the truth. Because Paul said, verse 8 and 9 of Galatians 1, "But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Paul preached the virgin birth, the sinless life, the vicarious death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, his ministry of intercession, his bodily coming back again, and the sanctification work of the Spirit for soul to be in Christ, to be saved. And so therefore, he said, if you preach any other, that means if you leave any part of that out, he said, you've got another gospel. It's not of the saving kind. It's a heteros gospel. It's another gospel. And he said, just let you go on to hell if that's what you preach. In other words, he said, let him be accursed, which means just let him go on to hell. So that's a sad thing we see today that in our Laodicean church age, that people are not contending for the faith because they're not proclaiming the gospel, if you please. The gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. Now, what else we need to, what else does contending for the faith mean? Well, it involves the truth. It involves the gospel we need to contend for, but it also involves the old paths. The old paths. Now, we're living in a time when people don't want the old paths. They want the new way, a better way. If it's new, if it's something new, it's probably not true. I'll tell you, we need to get back to the old paths. Jeremiah 16, the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord spoke to him and said, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way." That's Jeremiah 6:16. "Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." So he said, we need to get back to the old paths. Ask for them, find them, walk in them, order your lifestyle in them. And if we're not doing that, we're not contending for the faith. Now, the sad thing about Israel was they were not willing to ask for them, let alone contend for them or walk in them, because the Bible said in Jeremiah 6:16, but they said, "We will not walk therein." We don't want to walk therein. And so it's a sad thing. And we're living in the Laodicean church age when people don't want the truth, they don't want the gospel, they don't want the old paths. They are not contending for the faith. What does it mean to contend for the faith? It means to go against, strive against some things. It means to strive for the faith, which involves truth, the gospel, and the old paths, which was once revealed truth, once delivered to the saints. I tell you some other things when we stand for the faith and contend for the faith means. It means there needs to be, we need to contend for harmony in the home. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. We're living in a day whenever there's not a lot of harmony in our homes. We need to contend for that. Need to get back to where our home, so goes the home, so goes the church. So goes the home, so goes our nation. That's why we're in a mess in our nation today. That's why we're messing our churches today. Because our homes are not where they needs to be. There's not the harmony that there needs to be. That means the men are to meet their responsibility. And the wives will have to meet her responsibility, which is being in subjection to her husband. But that's not men being a slave. It just simply means submit to your husbands in the Lord. And then husbands, love your wife. And the Lord loved us and gave us everything we needed and more. And that's what you need to do is provide. I'm not talking about their wants, but their necessities of life in that sense. So we need to have harmony in the home. Now, to have harmony in the home, strive for that, you're going to have to train your children. The Bible said in Proverbs 22:6, he said, train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. In other words, some people say, well, I trained my boy right or my girl right, but they got older and left home and they went away. But the scripture said, train them up right, and I did that. They'll come back. Don't count on it, because that's not what the scripture actually says, what you said. The scripture says train them up in the way you should go. The Hebrew construction means you train them up in the way they should go, and even while they're growing old, they'll not depart from it. That's what the Word of God says. You know what we need to contend for? We need to contend for the faith by contending for discipline in our home. And you know something? Training up a child involves example. That is, you're to be an example, and you need to understand that. And it involves instruction. It also involves discipline. You see, some people think training a child involves just a switch. Well, that's part of it, but you need to train them. You need to be an example to them that God might work in their lives. Well, I'm talking about the fact that Jude said to contend for the faith, earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And as we're looking at this question, what does it mean to contend for the faith? It means you must strive against some things, and you must strive for some things. We need to strive against error. We need to strive against temptation. We need to strive against our enemy and God's enemy, the devil. And then we need to strive for some things, which is the faith, of course, that he mentioned, which involves truth, the gospel, the old paths. And then we need to strive for harmony in our homes. And that's what part of what it means to contend for the faith. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.